the wit of and about President John F. Kennedy. That's our focus on this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. I'm King David McKenzie.
Feeling in some quarters, sir, that big business is using the stock market slump as a means of forcing you to come to terms with business. One reputable columnist, after talking to businessmen, obviously, reported this week their attitude is, now we have you where they want you. Have you seen any reflection of this attitude?
I can't believe I'm where big business wants me.
President, now that the U.S. image is being transmitted instantaneously overseas by a Telstar, do you think the U.S. networks should make a greater effort to do something about the vast wasteland?
I'm going to leave Mr. Minow to argue the wasteland issue, I think.
Mr. President, the practice of managed news is attributed to your administration. Mr. Salinger says he's never had it defined. Will you give us your definition and ask us why you find it necessary to practice it?
You are charging us with something, Miss Crane, and you're asking me to define what it is you're charging me with. I think you might. Let me just say that we've had very limited success in managing the news, if that's what we've been trying to do. And perhaps you'd tell us what it is that you object to in our treatment of the news.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Well, I don't believe in managed news at all. I thought we ought to get everything we want.
Well, I think you should, too, Miss Gray. I'm for that.
Back on the subject of presidential advisors, Congressman Baring of Nevada, a Democrat, says you would do much better if you got rid of some of yours. And he names Bowles, Ball, Bell, Bunch, and Sylvester.
Well, he has a fondness for alliteration and for bees. And I would not add Congressman Baring to that list, but as I have a high regard for him and for the gentleman that he named. But the congressmen are always advising presidents to get rid of presidential advisors. That's one of the most constant threads that run through American history. And presidents ordinarily do not pay attention, and nor do they in this case.
Two books have been written about you recently. One of them by Hugh Seide has been criticized as being too uncritical of you, and the other by Victor Lasky as being too critical of you. How would you review them if you read them?
I thought Mr. Seide was quite critical, but I haven't read all of Mr. Lasky, except I've just gotten the flavor of it. I've seen it's highly praised by Mr. Drummond and Mr. Kroc and others, so I'm looking forward to reading it, because the part that I read was not as brilliant as I gather the rest of it is from what they say about it.
Senator Goldwater accused your administration today of the falsification of the news in order to perpetuate itself in office. Would you care to comment on that?
What was he referring to?
He was making a speech here at the Women's National Press Club, and his point was that you and your administration are mismanaging the news and using it to perpetuate yourself in office.
Well, as I've said before, I think it would be unwise at this time to answer or reply to Senator Goldwater. I'm confident that he'll be making many charges, even more serious than this one, in the coming months. And in addition, he himself has had a busy week selling TVA and giving permission to suggesting that military commanders overseas be permitted to use nuclear weapons, attacking the president of Bolivia while he was here in the United States, involving himself in the Greek election. So I thought that it really would be not fair for me this week to reply to him.
President, would you give us your view of the elections Saturday and yesterday, whether they may reflect public reaction to your administration or to the part that you and Mr. Eisenhower took in them? Can this type of election be a political barometer?
Well, I'm always reluctant to claim that what happens in one election with one set of candidates necessarily means it will happen again at a later date with a different set of candidates. But as I believe, if Mr. Gonzalez and Mayor Wagner
and Judge Hughes had lost, that it would have been interpreted as a stunning setback for this administration. They won because they were effective candidates, but they all ran as Democrats. And I believe that it indicates that the American people believe that the candidates and parties in those areas, as well as nationally, are committed to progress, and that's what they're committed to. So I'm happy, and I suppose someday we'll lose, and then I'll have to eat those words.
I guess we, this chimpanzee who was flying in space took off at 10:08. He reports that everything is perfect and working well.
Mr. President, in line, sir, with your statement a moment ago that you hoped that the relations between the United States and Russia would improve, Admiral Arleigh Burke is quoted in some newspapers today in an interview in which he makes some rather sharp comments on American and Russian. I'm asking, sir, is this in line with your administration policy that all high officials should speak with one voice?
I have been informed, and perhaps Mr. Sauger can correct me, that interview was given on January 12th, which was before the administration took over on January 20th and before we gave any indication that we would like all statements to be dealing with national security to be coordinated. I would say that this makes me happier than ever that such a directive has gone out.
Mr. President, your brother Ted recently on television said that after seeing the cares of office on you that he wasn't sure he'd ever be interested in being the president. I wonder if you could tell us whether, if you had it to do over again, you would work for the presidency and whether you can recommend the job to others.
Well, the answer is the first is yes, and the second is no. I don't recommend it to others, at least for a while.
President, this being Valentine's Day, sir, do you think it might be a good idea if you were to call Senator Strom Thurmond of South Carolina down to the White House for a heart-to-heart talk about disagreement over the censorship of the military speeches and what he calls your defeatist foreign policy?
Well, I think that that meeting should be probably prepared at a lower level, and then we could have it.
Perhaps in this connection you would comment for us on the present general as you see it from the presidency. Perhaps it's treatment of your administration, treatment of the issues of the day.
Well, I'm reading more and enjoying it less and so on, but I have not complained, nor do I plan to make any general complaints. I read and talk to myself about it, but I don't plan to issue any general statement of the press. I think that they are doing their task as a critical branch, Fourth Estate, and I'm attempting to do mine, and we're going to live together for period, and then go our separate ways.
Mr. President, at the time of your controversy with the steel industry, you were quoted as making a rather harsh statement about businessmen. I'm sure you know which statement I have in mind.
Yes. You wouldn't want to identify, would you? Yeah. Would I want to comment on it?
Yes.
Oh, well, the statement which I've seen repeated as it was repeated in one daily paper is inaccurate. It quotes my father as having expressed himself strongly on to me, and it in this I quoted what he said and indicated that that he had not been, as he had not been on many other occasions, wholly wrong. Now, the only thing wrong with the statement was that as it appeared in a daily paper, it indicated that he was critical of the business community. I think the phrase was all businessmen. That's obviously an error because he was a businessman himself.
Mr. President, you have said, and I think more than once, that heads of government should not go to the summit to negotiate agreements, but only to approve agreements negotiated at a lower level. Now it's being said and written that you're going to eat those words and go to a summit without any agreement at a lower level. Has your position changed, sir?
Well, I'm going to have a dinner for all the people who've written it, and we'll see who eats what.
President, there have been published reports that some high-placed Republican people have been making overtures to your Secretary of Defense for him to be their 1968 candidate for president. Mr. President, if you thought that Mr. McNamara were seriously considering these overtures, would you continue him in your cabinet?
I have too high regard for him to launch his candidacy right now.
Mr. President, in the 1960 campaign, you used to say that it was time for America to get moving again. Do you think it is moving? And if so, how and where? The reason I ask you the question, Mr. President, is that the Republican National Committee recently adopted a resolution saying you were pretty much of a failure.
I'm sure it was passed unanimously.
Senator Case has proposed that a watchdog committee be created to look at, into these...
To watch the congressmen and senators? Well, that'd be fine if they feel that they should do that.
Mr. President, the Democratic platform in which you ran for election promises to work for equal rights for women, including equal pay, to wipe out job opportunity discriminations. Now, you have made efforts on behalf of others. What have you done for the women according to the promises of the platform?
Well, I'm sure we haven't done enough, and... I must say I am a strong believer in equal pay for equal work, and I think that we ought to do better than we're doing, and I'm glad that you reminded me of it, Mr.
President. President, I'm sure you're aware, sir, of the tremendous mail response that your news conferences on television and radio has produced. There are many Americans who believe that in our manner of questioning or seeking your attention, that we're subjecting you to some abuse or a lack of respect. I wonder, sir, in this light, could you tell us generally your feelings about your press conferences today and your feelings about how they're conducted?
Well, you're subject to me to some abuse, but not to any lack of respect, I don't think. I must say that I do know that there are difficulties. But if, and I know that it places burdens on members of the press to have to stand up, particularly when I'm not able to recognize them. On the other hand, if it were changed and one member stood up, then perhaps that would not be a satisfactory device. So that I think that along with the old saying about don't take down a fence till you know why it was put up, I would say that we should stay with what we now have.
Mr. President, visitors who go out to visit Lincoln Park on East Capitol Street are dismayed to find it a slum. Congress has authorized, and the National Council of Negro Women will erect there, a memorial stadium and a statue of the great woman educator, Mary Bethune. Now the transit company proposes to put an 8-lane freeway between the park and the Capitol, cutting it off. Could you inquire into that and see if the freeway could be put further out beyond the park?
Yes, I will. It's fine.
Mr. President.
You're very gentle today, Miss Gray.
Congressman Alger of Texas today criticized Mr. Salinger as a, quote, young and inexperienced White House publicity man, end quote. I questioned the advisability of having him visit the Soviet Union. I wonder if you have any comments.
I know there are always some people who feel that Americans are always young and inexperienced and foreigners are always able and tough and great negotiators, but I don't think that the United States acquired its present position of leadership in the free world if that view were correct. Now, he also, as I saw the press, said that Mr. Salinger's main job was to increase my standing in the Gallup poll. Having done that, he's now moving on to improve our communication. As I say, Mr. Salinger, Mr. Ashby are responsible for our interview, which I think was very helpful. And if I think anything we can do, I don't think we should worry so much about Americans traveling abroad. I think they've acquitted themselves well. And so, Mr. Salinger, I'm sure that some people in the Soviet Union are concerned about Mr. Ashby's visits abroad.
Mr. President, you once told us you had an opinion as to whether Mr. Nixon should enter the race for the California governorship, but you never did tell us what that was. Could you tell us
that? Well, I think I said at the time that I'd be glad to confide it to him, and he has not as yet spoken to me about it.
You see, you have in the past endorsed some candidates in primaries where there was opposition.
I endorsed Congressman Fassell and Senator Smathers at the dinner in Miami. I think those are the only fights which I took in an active part in the primary.
Well, I was thinking of Hale Boggs, too, but that's not important.
Well, it is to Congressman.
You and your wife and other members of your family have declined to go to private clubs and take part in other functions, even women's benefits and churches, where there was racial segregation. Now, I wonder if you don't think it's simply fair that the President of the United States, members of his cabinet, U.S. ambassadors and other officers of this government should decline to speak at and participate in functions where women newspaper reporters are barred.
I feel that I have many responsibilities and the press has less. And I would think that the press should deal with that problem. And I'm sure that I think it would be most appropriate if the members of the press club had a meeting and permitted you to come and present your views to them. And I will say that as we are expected as a president to comment on everything, I will say that in my judgment, when a official visitor comes to speak to the press club, that all working reporters should be permitted in on a basis of equality. That is not a social occasion, but a working occasion. That happens to be my personal view, and the members of the press club will have to decide it in the way they want. They are entitled to have any arrangement they would want in regard, I would think, to social occasions. But I would think that when there is a official visitor here as a part of a guest of the people of the United States and there's a meeting held, that all reporters should come on a basis of equality. But that, I am not a member of the press club except honorary, and therefore, but I give my view as an honorary member, not as President of the United States.
Mr. President, you have said that you are in favor of the two-term limit to the office of the presidency. Now, how do you feel about former President Eisenhower's suggestion that the terms of congressmen also be limited?
It's the sort of proposal which I may advance in a post-presidential period, but not right now.
Governor Rockefeller, Governor Romney, and Senator Goldwater, none of these gentlemen are willing to admit that they're candidates in 1964. I wonder if, to your experienced eye, any of them looks like a candidate, and if you'd care to be a little more frank than they are about your plans.
If I had to, I would say that if the party, the spirit is of the party, comes to them, that they will answer the call in all those three cases. And I would say that that is about my position, too.
Your speaking of historians induces me to ask you this. Most former presidents have put their official papers in libraries in their home states where they are not readily available to scholars and historians who come here to work with the Library of Congress and other agencies here. Have you decided where to put yours, and would you consider putting it in Washington?
Yes, I'm going to put it in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
It's been a long time since a president and his family have been subjected to such a heavy barrage of teasing and fun-poking and satire. I mean, there have been books on backstairs at the White House, and cartoon books with clever sayings, and photo albums with balloons and the rest, and now a smash hit record. Can you tell us whether you read and listen to these things and whether they produce annoyment or enjoyment?
Annoyment. No, they produce... Yes, I have read them and listened to them. Actually, I listened to Mr. Meade's record, but I thought it sounded more like Teddy than it did me. But
the
he's annoyed.
A collection of witty sound bites from the press conferences of President John F. Kennedy. Said wit often inspired by White House correspondent Mae Craig of the Portland Press Herald, one of the largest newspapers in New England, whose hats were often as eccentric as her questions. With this kind of image surrounding the U.S. head of state, it was only a matter of time before some comedian would actually concoct a record album poking some friendly fun at JFK. Actually, among the earliest would be later public television mainstay Mark Russell with a Columbia album titled Up the Potomac Without a Canoe, and Mort Saul with his reprise LP, The New Frontier. But the one that really connected with the public starred another Maine resident, impressionist Vaughn Meader. It's this album that JFK joked about at the end of the press conference collage, and was, in fact, one of his very favorite LPs. The album, co-produced by Errol Dowd and Bob Booker, was The First Family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking to you from a typical American home in Hyannisport, Massachusetts. Since January of 1960, this family of smiling and happy people have undergone a change. You might say they've been engaged in a new and different type of experiment. Sir, as head of this average family, what was this new experience undergone by you and the members of your household?
Well, after 2 years of brushing with the Crest toothpaste, our group had 21% fewer cavities with Crest. This shows a rate of economic growth, and therefore, it is not with too much concern that I say a raise from 25 to 35 is not completely out of accord when compared with the current financial deficit on hand. Now, I trust that answers your question about your weekly allowance, Caroline. next question.
Yes, I should like to ask a question about...
Would you stand, please?
Yes, I should like to ask a question about...
Would you identify yourself, please?
I'm your wife. And I should like to ask the following question.
No, speak English, Jackie.
I noticed that you didn't touch your salad, either at dinner tonight or at dinner last night. Would you tell us why, please?
Well, let me say this about that. Now, number one, in my opinion, your fault does not lie as much with the salad as it does with the dressing being used on the salad. Now, let me say that I have nothing against the dairy industry. However, I would prefer it if in the future we stuck to coleslaw. Next question. Yes, the baby in the back row, baby John. Well, I believe I answered that that question at dinner last night. Now, if you remember, here is what I said at that time. Oody wadi body biddy doo, dee wadi da, goody wadi woo. Yes, next question.
Yes, I should like to ask a question regarding the daily bath.
Identify yourself, please.
I'm the house nurse.
All right, nurse, move ahead with your question.
Well, there seems to be some confusion as to the toys to be taken into the bathtub. Now, Caroline's toys are getting mixed up with John's, and I should like to know once and for all whose toys are who.
Yes, well, let me make a judgment about that now. The following toys have been appropriated for tub use. 18 PT boats, three Yogi Bear beach balls, two Howdy Doody plastic bouncing clowns, a ball of silly putty, and a rubber swan. Now, let me make a judgment on the dispersal of these items. 9 of the PT boats, 2 of the Yogi Bear beach balls, the ball of silly putty belong to Caroline. 9 of the PT boats, 1 of the Yogi... Bear Beach Balls, and the two Howdy Doody Plastic Bouncing Clowns are Baby John's. The Rubber Swan is mine. Next question.
Your wife, and in regard to our grocery bill, I think the food prices for this house are way out of control. Would you care to comment on that?
Yes, let me say this about that. Now, I noticed the other night we had the King Shad and all of his wives to dinner, and you served the 79-cent bread instead of margarine. Now, I think you overlooked a considerable saving there, because you really can't tell the difference between margarine and the higher-priced bread. And believe me, if you can, King Shad can't. Time for one final question.
Me, Daddy.
I had my hand up first.
You did not. I had my hand up first.
You did not, Caroline. I had my hand up first.
You did not. I have my hand up
now,
first.
Now, I want you youngsters to stop fighting among yourselves. So go ahead, Bobby. I think you were first. Well, I should like to straighten out the... Would you stand, please, Bob? I would like to discuss yesterday's touch football game with you. Now, on three different occasions, I was tackled. Once by Senator Dirksen, once by Senator Goldwater, and once by Mr. Hoffa. Now, as Attorney General, I can tell you that a tackle in a touch football is illegal, and you should have called a penalty. Yes, Bob, you are the Attorney General. But when you play here, you play by my rules or you don't play at all. And I guess you know why. Why? Because it's my ball, that's why.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Yes, sir?
The Malayan ambassador for dinner.
One moment, sir. The Malayan ambassador for dinner.
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 Tell him it's tomorrow night.
Family, family, family. Jack, there's just too much family. Can't we ever get away alone?
Tomorrow. I promise tomorrow we'll go away together tomorrow. No more family for a while now, I promise. Now, turn off the light. Good night, Jackie.
Good night, Jack.
Good night, Bobby. Good night, Ethel.
Good night, Jack. Good night, Teddy. Good night, Peter.
Good night, Patrick. Good night, Ethel. Good night, Peter.
Now, Cooper, we're here to prepare you, so pay attention. You've only got a few minutes. Grissom here and Glenn and Carpenter and Shepard and Shira have all been through this, so they can fill you in. Glenn?
Well, Coop, it's the start that's the problem. You've got to relax. The initial force takes over, and then all you have to do is guide. Shira, you had a little trouble with the suit. Why don't you tell Coop about it?
Well, I figured that the suit was too loose. I'd recommend making sure of a really snug fit. Carpenter?
The most important thing is not to panic when you fall in the water. Just settle down and wait, and somebody will be sure to pick you up. You got it, Coop?
Well, I'm grateful for the advice, fellas, but to tell you the honest truth, I'm scared. But you all went through it, so I guess I can.
Good boy, Coop. Now, you ready?
Ready, Mr. Webb.
Okay, now get down to the dock and put on your water skis. Jackie's waiting.
Fill her up, please.
This car?
No, all 70 of them and the... And the motorcycles.
Yes, sir.
By the way, do you give green stamps?
No, sir, we don't.
Forget it.
Mr. Pablo Casals.
How do you do, Mr. Casals?
Hello, Pablo. Welcome.
Mr. Leonard Bernstein.
How do you do, Mr. Bernstein?
Hello, Leonard. Nice of you to come.
Dr. Albert Schweitzer.
How do you do, Doctor?
Hello, Albert. Hope you had a nice trip.
Jackie.
Yes?
Why is it always your friends?
Good evening. This is Charles Collingsworth at the White House in Washington, D.C. For many of you, this will be your first visit to this historical landmark. Our tour through these hallowed halls will be conducted by the First Lady.
Good evening, Charles.
Good evening. Shall we begin here in the West Wing?
Yes. If your cameras will just move through these oak panel doors over here on our left, we will be in the Calvin Coolidge Room. Which was named after our 35th president. I can't help but wish your cameramen had opened the doors before they moved their heavy cameras through them. The doors, incidentally, were a gift from Mrs. R.C. Greenleaf of Raleigh, North Carolina. They were made out of solid oak, and up until a few seconds ago, they stood over 15 feet high.
They were lovely.
Now we are approaching the Thomas Jefferson Room, which I think you'll find rather interesting. President Jefferson used to come into this room and sit for hours just gazing out the window at the White House lawn. The White House lawn was a gift from Mrs. W.C. Ridgway of Hollyhock, Virginia. The president and I decided to leave it just the way it was originally.
It's lovely.
This football, which has just come crashing through the $5,000 President McKinley French windows, belongs to the current president, who, of course, is also my husband.
He's lovely.
Now we're entering the President Grant drawing room, which I think you'll find rather interesting. We decided to leave this room just the way it was when President Grant left office.
I do notice a lot of dust on the furniture in here.
Yes. And that dust was a gift from Mrs. E.C. Landon of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Now, if you'd care to follow me down this hall to the next room, as we go, I should like to point out the various paintings on the wall.
Yes, I wish you would point them out.
Well, there's this one and this one. And that great big one over there. And this little teeny one down here. And finally, this one over here.
Thank you for pointing them out. What's in this room over here?
I believe we are standing in front of the President Monroe Conference Room.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling, Clementine. We are lost.
It's so easy to get confused. It's such a big house. Now, I believe straight ahead of us is the blue room. Yes, this is the blue room. We decided to leave it just the way President Blue had it originally. Now we are in the East Wing. This is the section we are having completely remodeled. All the rooms are being changed around.
Yes, the carpenters certainly are busy, aren't they?
Aren't they, though? And those carpenters were a gift from Mr. and Mrs. Al Bianchi of Haworth, New Jersey. I find it quite easy to get lost in this section.
Yes, I imagine one could get lost in here.
Pardon me. I seem to have made the wrong turn somewhere. Now, I'm trying to find the bedroom. I just came out of the John Hancock bathroom where I was taking a shower in the Alexander Hamilton bathtub. And I think
the
that...
The carpenters and painters here have been just working like beavers around the clock. We hope to have it finished
which
in
way
May.
Is she? The bedroom. The bedroom is where?
Actually, the original schedule didn't call for it to be completed until July. But the work has gone well.
I should like to point out that I am... I am standing here in my shorts, dripping wet. Now, I've got an important conference in 15 minutes. So I must be dressed in 10 minutes, which means I shall have to move ahead toward our bedroom with great vigor.
Excuse me, Charles. Dear, go down this hall to the Andrew Jackson smoking room, then turn right into the President Taft Rumpus room, across over through the Woodrow Wilson ping pong room, then left at the Dolly Madison pinochle room, through the President Grant drinking room, past the Richard Nixon dumbwaiter. And that's our room.
Well, let's see. Now I go past the Dolly Madison ping pong room, across the Richard Nixon the drinking room, and then I go left at the Andrew Jackson room.
Wasn't that your husband?
Yes, it was.
He's a magnificent looking man.
Yes. And we decided to leave him just the way he was originally. Incidentally, he was a gift.
That's nice. We return you now to our studios. The following is a public service announcement. Election day is near. Go to the polls and vote. Vote for the Kennedy of your choice, but vote.
Do you really think you can get away with this?
Well, Pierre, I've been criticized in the newspapers for the big parties and the state dinners. Now, we've got to cut down and economy starch at home.
All right, if you say so. Oh, here they are.
All right, gentlemen, let us be seated. Mr. Adenauer, if you will sit next to your friend, Mr. de Gaulle. And Mr. Castro, if you will sit here next to your friend, Mr. Khrushchev. Mr. Nasha, if you will sit here next to Mr. Ben-Gurion. I'm sorry. Mr. Nkrumah, if you will sit in between Mr. Ben-Gurion and Mr. Nasha, then you can turn either way. Now, Mr. Chiang Kai-shek, would you please sit there beside Mr. Khrushchev? Oh, good. Now, before we get down to the business at hand, I think lunch would be in order. Now, I thought that instead of the formal food we usually serve here, that we would have a typical American businessman's lunch. So I'm going to send down to the delicatessen store for some sandwiches. Well, how does that strike you, gentlemen? Mr. Khrushchev, would you... I appreciate your enthusiasm, but would you mind just taking your shoe off the table? Now, I think I'll have a peanut butter and jelly on whole wheat with a side order of a coleslaw and a hot fudge sundae. Mr. de Gaulle?
Yuck. I would like to have Dove under glass.
Well, I'm sorry, General, but we're only having sandwiches today.
Then could I have a Dove under glass sandwich?
All right, Pierre, a chicken salad on white for the general. Mr. Shankai Shek.
Club sandwich would be fine. Thank you so much.
Would you like it with a little mayo?
Please, not to mention that name.
I'm sorry. Mr. Nasser.
I'll have a hot pastrami sandwich. I can never get it at home.
What kind of bread?
White toast with lettuce and mayonnaise.
Mr. Nasser.
What do you want, Ben-Gurion?
Look, I know we don't get along. You never listen to me. Now you're fooling around with rockets. But this time, please listen. Pastrami don't go with white bread and lettuce and mayonnaise. Have it on rye bread with mustard, not glass tea. You'll enjoy.
I think that Mr. Ben-Gurion has a point there.
All right, I'll take a chance.
Good boy. And if you like pastrami, next time you're in my neighborhood, drop into the house. My wife makes a gefilte fish. It melts in your mouth.
We'll have to get together, Mr. Ben-Gurion.
My name is Ben-Gurion. You can call me Ben.
My name is Abdul Nasser. You can call me Abe.
Good. Now, fine. Mr. Khrushchev.
Oh, you don't have to order special for me. I'll have a bite of everybody else's.
All right, Mr. Adenauer.
You have one sandwich here in America I love. I have a Western sandwich.
If Adenauer has a Western sandwich, then I'll have an Eastern sandwich.
There is no Eastern sandwich.
Then I want the Eastern portion of his Western sandwich.
I'm sure we can negotiate on that subject. Mr. Castro.
No pregunte qué su patria puede hacer para usted, pero pregunte qué usted puede hacer para su patria. I have a chicken sandwich with a live chicken.
Well, that leaves Mr. Nkrumah. What will you have, sir?
I'll have some watermelon.
Don't put me on, Mr. Negro.
All right. A ham and egg sandwich and a Coke. And I guess a bowl of borscht.
Okay, Pierre, put the rush on it. Well, we got it. Gentlemen, that was a pleasant lunch. Now, under discussion today will be nuclear disarmament, followed by the UN bond issue and a matter of the trade agreements. Now, first, there is a most important matter to settle. Mr. De Gaulle, yours was the chicken salad and coffee. That's $1.40.
Well, what do you say, Dirksen? Will you make up your mind?
Well, sir, I think that $2 million is much too much. However, sir, I do think that the residual benefits to be derived from this project would more than compensate, sir, for the original outlay of funds.
I see. Mr. Rosk, what do you think?
Well, sir, I do not go along with Mr. Dirksen. The residual benefits are beside the point. It's a dangerous move.
I'd like to say something, if I might.
Must you, Lyndon?
Well, sir, I don't think that either Mr. Rusk or Mr. Johnson here have the right, sir, to advise in this particular matter. I do believe, sir, that the decision is up to you. And if I may say so, you are holding things up. I think this truly calls for an immediate decision on your part, sir.
Ev, you drive a hard bargain. But, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll sell you a boardwalk in Park Place with $2 on it.
Halt! Who goes there? Oh, it's you. Go right ahead.
Hold it, hold it. Where are you going? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't recognize you, sir.
Hey, no one is admitted beyond... Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know it was you.
Yes? Oh, it's you. What is it?
Can Caroline come out and play?
I'm sorry, young man, but she can't. She's in Italy with her mother.
Oh. Well, then, what's Lyndon doing?
Now down onto the floor for this week's press conference.
Yes, well, there is no opening statement. I think I will just take the first question.
Claude Smedley, Washington Daily Herald. Sir, would you comment on the African situation, please?
Well, no, I'm not up to date on that. Now, I sent a personal representative to Africa some months ago. So far, she hasn't even dropped me a card. Yes.
Harlow Sievers, National and International Post Dispatch and Farm Bulletin, Weekly Morning Press Gazette, and Daily Bugle, Omaha.
Let me say this about that now. Well, they're false. Now, I don't believe in those charges, and neither does my brother Bobby nor my brother Genghis. Yes.
Sir, we understand that on-the-spot nuclear inspection might not be necessary. Do you have a new way that we can tell what the Russians are doing without actual on-the-spot inspection in the Soviet Union?
Yes, we are asking everyone to be very, very quiet. You in the flowered hat.
Yes, I'd like to.
Not you, sir. The lady behind you.
Sir?
Yes?
When will we send a man to the moon?
Whenever Senator Goldwater wants to go.
Would you like your son to be president?
Definitely not. I think he should finish school first. Yes.
What are you going to do about the medical care for the aged?
Try to stay young. I think we have time for one final question.
Yeah. Yes. Now that you're in office, what do you think the chances are for a Jewish president?
Well, I think they're pretty good. Now, let me say, I don't see why a person of the Jewish faith can't be president of the United States. I know as a Catholic, I could never vote for him, but other than that...
I worked 3 months on the creation of this dress. I believe, how you say, madame, it is you. A Jacques original for you, eh?
Ah, merci, Jacques. Très bien. I believe you're right, Jacques. I like it. It has a very distinctive air about it, and yet it is conservative. I like it.
Ah, you make me so happy. I have thought and thought, and I have decided to name this after you, the First Lady, eh?
Merci, Jacques. I don't like to tell an artist what to do, but I wondered, would you mind if I made one small change? Could you remove the top button?
Ah, madame, a wonderful idea. Of course, that is the touch it needed.
Merci. I think I'll wear it tonight to the embassy ball. Au revoir, Jacques.
Oh, madame, madame, you make me so happy. Mrs. G., rip the top button off those 5,000 first ladies and put them on a rack.
Pass me the magazine section of the Times.
I'm doing the puzzle, darling.
Well, then give me the book review section.
Here you are. Isn't it nice being here alone on a Saturday night? Just the two of us for change.
That's what you said last Saturday and the Saturday before that and the Saturday before that. You want to see a movie?
Fine. There's a wonderful abstract Swedish picture playing.
I knew you'd say that. I know where there's a good Italian movie playing, seeing as how you like foreign films.
Wonderful. Which one?
Hercules, starring Steve Reeves.
I knew you'd say that.
Well, there must be something to do. I just feel so guilty just sitting here, like I'm cheating the country. Do you want to go bowling or something?
I can't. I lent Lady Bird my ball. What are the Rusks doing? They're always entertaining. We could call them and you could feel them out.
I'll call. Mr. Rush, please. The President of the United States. Hello, Dean. No, it's not an emergency, not a big one. Well, I wanted to know what's going on there. I hear noises and laughter. Oh, a party, isn't that nice?
The Rusks are having a party, Jackie.
I was just telling Jackie that you were having a party. Yes, she's here with me. We're home alone tonight. Just the two of us. She and I, no one else. Alone. The two of us. What? What did I call about? Oh, it's not important. I'll discuss it with you on Monday. Yes, thanks. Oh, and Dean, if you get any political questions that you can't answer, be sure and call me, because I'm not going anywhere. Jackie and I will be home, alone. Goodbye.
I'll tell you what. Let's call up for a pizza.
I can't do that. I can't call up and say, this is the President of the United States. Send up a sausage pizza.
Don't tell them who you are. Just tell them to send it to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
I don't know if I can do that.
Well, let's do something. I don't want to stay home. I'm sick and tired of staying home and staring at these same 100 walls.
Hello? Oh, hello, Elsa. It's Elsa Maxwell, Jackie. What? You're having a party and you wonder if by any remote chance we happen to be free. Free? Jackie and I on a Saturday night? You know, Elsa, sometimes I wonder about you. We're having our own party. Can't you hear it?
Jackie, laugh it up.
Hear that, Elsa? That Adlai, he's such a cutie. He always makes Jackie laugh. Just a minute. Yes, thank you. I will have some more champagne and fill the Maharaja of Baroda's glass. Don't forget the Maharini. Oh, Elsa, I have to hang up. The Humphreys and Goldwaters are at it again. Goodbye, Elsa, and thanks for thinking of us. Pass me the magazine section of the Times.
I'm doing the puzzle, darling.
Oh, then give me the book review section.
Isn't it nice being here alone on a Saturday night? Just the two of us for a change.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? All right, Jackie, you take it here.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne?
All right, Caroline, now you come in.
For old lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne.
Oh, now everybody take it together with vigor.
We'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne.
All right. Now, let's remember the number to call in New York is El Dorado.
Yes, go to sleep now, Caroline. Daddy tucked you in, and you've had 3 glasses of water. Now, good night.
Tell me a story, Daddy.
Oh, come on, sweetheart. It's late.
Just one short story, Daddy?
Oh, all right, just one.
Tell me my favorite story.
About the tall man?
Yes, with all the hair.
Well, there was this tall man with a lot of hair. And he was prince and a great warrior. And the people of his country picked him to be their leader because he could protect them and lead them on to the new frontiers.
Tell me about when he had the trouble.
Well, Caroline, first he had trouble with the Steel Duke. And then all the money lords... Then all the money lords gave him trouble, and then all the other lords wanted to take his job away. But when he talked, everyone believed him, and he remained as their leader. Now, one day, the evil prince with the black beard from the island in the south and the the terrible fat bear from the cold north came, and they tried to hurt the prince. But the prince was too smart, and he chased them away. So the handsome prince and all the people of his country lived happily ever after.
Oh, I was scared. But hooray for the prince. And thank you, Daddy. Good night.
Good night, Caroline. Good night.
These sessions do him so much good.
The First Family, starring Von Meter, Naomi Brossart, Norma Macmillan, Earl Dowd, Bob Booker, and in one of the one-line characters, Chuck McCann. The album, recorded on October the 22nd, 1962, was issued on the Cadence label that November and sold 1 million copies by that Christmas, with another 6 million plus before the first anniversary of release. Unfortunately, shortly after that first anniversary, Kennedy was assassinated, and the album taken out of circulation. Von Meter recorded several more albums throughout the decade, none with a tenth as much success as the First Family. Meter died in obscurity on October the 29th, 2004. That concludes this week's broadcast of Echoes of a Century. This program was an independent production by Doll Shoe Radio Creations, copyright 2005. Produced in the studios of WLSU La Crosse, an affiliate of Wisconsin Public Radio, on the La Crosse campus of the University of Wisconsin. I'm King David McKenzie. Thanks for listening. I hope that you will join us again at this same time next week. Until then, remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space.